Thank you for another opportunity to bring you a portion of God's Word. And I pray that my lesson today will glorify God. And as I said before, I normally when I preach, I pick a subject that I think that is important to me, that I need help in, and I pray it's beneficial for you as well. I have a lot of scriptures today. Some I will just quote. Some I will ask you to turn. But if you want to take notes, you can write down those other scriptures and go back and look at them. Fear. Have you ever experienced fear? If you've been in law enforcement or military or firefighters, you know what fear is. You train so that you're able to overcome your fears. Students in school sometimes experience fear. It's not a physical fear, but they have panic attacks where they have tests or things of peer pressure, and there are fears that they sometimes have to overcome as well. Louis Pasteur, you probably know him from your classes, and Howard Hughes all had this manic fear of dirt and bacteria to the point where they would not shake your hand because of that. President Benjamin Harrison, the 23rd president, when he took office in 1889, he and his wife were the first ones to have electricity in the White House. And they had such an irrational fear of that electricity, they would not even touch the light switch. They would have the servants turn it on or off. And if the servants weren't there, they would go to sleep with the lights on. Okay? And we think that may be silly, but it was new to them. 30 years ago, researchers at Johns Hopkins reported that the greatest fear of grade school children were animals, dark rooms, high places, strangers, and loud noises. Today, kids are afraid of the following: divorce, nuclear war, cancer, pollution, being mugged, drive-by shootings. We fear many bad things: crime, auto accidents, devastating storms, viruses, chemical weapons, mass murders, terrorists, earthquakes. All these things can be fearsome when we do it. So what is fear? Textbooks define fear as a response to physical or emotional danger. Fear can stem from actual threats or perceived or imagined threats. Fear can be attributed to mental health issues, panic attacks, phobias, PTSD. And there's a lot of studies that look at fear and all the causes of reaction that causes fear in people. But the reason we want to look at fear is for this reason. And I'll give out a lot of more reasons why. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man." And Hebrews 10:31 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." One Bible phrase that has troubled people over the years is the command to fear God. What does the fear of the Lord mean? And why does the Bible tell us to fear God? Luke records that they walked in the fear of the Lord in Acts 9:31. It says, "Then have the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and edified. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." Now this expression occurs many times in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, although sometimes they are manifested or interpreted differently. Okay. For example, if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Second Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 9. "Wherefore also we make it our aim, whether at home or absent, is to be well-pleasing unto him. For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciousness. Now that was from the American Standard Version. In King James, the word fear is translated as terror. In writing to the church at Philippi, Paul told them to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12, where it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." This concept of fear and trembling is not a popular concept today. People prefer to refer to God as love, long-suffering, and mercy. The emphasis used to be on hellfire and brimstone. When I was raised in the Baptist church in the South, my grandmother would always take me to Bible meetings, services, and revivals. Oh, those revivals. You always had that hellfire and brimstone. And my grandmother would get mad at me because I'd sit there with my hands over my ears because the preacher was yelling so loud. And her reaction was, she'd pinch a plug out of me. That was her solution for everything. She'd reach over and pinch a plug out of me. But today, that hellfire and brimstone has given way to love and mercy and God is love. And they don't really talk about the consequences of what happens if you are sinning and the consequences of not being right with God. The question is, have we left the concept of fear and trembling? Have we forgotten what we should fear if we are negligent? So let's explore this concept. One Hebrew word for fear is mora. And this means dread, terribleness, terror, a fearful thing or deed. Another word in Hebrew is yare. And there's another variation of it, which can mean the fear of God is respect, reverence, and piety. The variation yare is used in the Old Testament to describe fear or terror, an awesome or terrifying thing, an object which would cause fear. Now, the Hebrew verb and the Hebrew noun yare is usually refers to the fear of God, and it's viewed as a positive quality. This fear acknowledges God's good intentions. In Exodus 20:20, Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces that ye sin not." This fear is produced by God's word and makes a person receptive to wisdom and knowledge. Psalms 19:9 says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." The Hebrew word for clean is tabor. And that Hebrew word means pure. So the fear of the Lord is pure. Psalms 119:38 says, "Confirm unto thy servant, which is in order, unto the fear of thee. Turn away my reproach, whereof I fear, for thine ordinances are good." In Proverbs chapter 2, it says, "Thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." I've often thought that the fear of God was like the fear I had for my father, my earthly father. I was afraid of disappointing my father. I always wanted his approval and praise. But I also knew that if I did anything wrong, that I would be punished. And truly, some of my punishment was really hard, really hard. But that was the fear that I had for my father. And I knew when I got punished, for the most part, I deserved it. In Greek, the word for fear is provos. That's why I always used to type my lessons in class because of my handwriting, but bear with me. This means reverential fear. This is in Greek. Not a mere fear of his power and righteous retribution, but a wholesome dread of displeasing God. So we know that the fear of the Lord is often defined as reverence or awe. But this may not go far enough to express that fear. For the terms of reverence and awe imply a place for trembling. Do people make that connection? A couple of weeks, Chris talked about knowledge and wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And this is true. But there should be a place for trembling. In Philippians 2:12, which I read earlier, fear and trembling. Now, trembling comes from the word tremos. And this means a trembling or quaking with fear. People would likely tremble. If you were approached by someone with a gun and you were in fear of your life, you might be trembling. Or if you asked to go someplace where there was someone that was very high up and you were nervous, you might tremble because you were nervous. Okay? But I fear that people don't tremble enough considering God. And we'll talk about that. And this is, for me, this is important because what I want to do is I want to show the reverence and awe that I have for God. But I also want to understand what it means to be afraid of disappointing my Father. Matthew 10:28 says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to kill both body and soul in hell." And of course, who's Jesus speaking of? He's speaking of God. So what does the fear of the Lord do to us? Well, it would bring around reverence and awe, but it would also include being afraid to offend God in any way. It is a trembling and quaking when someone realizes they have offended God and not obtained forgiveness. And I venture to say, those people who sin, and we all sin, okay? But when you sin and go back to God, are you trembling? Are you aware of the consequences? You have dread of committing an offense that's displeasing to God. Hebrews 10:26, if you'd like to turn there. If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fury indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The fearful in Hebrews 10:27 is a variation of provos, meaning frightful, fearful, terrible. The reverence in Hebrews 12:28 is from the Greek word eidos. And that's the idea of downcast eyes, modesty. In ancient times, it was very common for people to bow their heads, to bow their bodies when coming up with somebody that they respected or they feared. Some, we see, even would go as far as prostrate themselves on the ground with their head on the ground. Can you imagine Americans doing that? Do we have that reverential fear and awe of God? Would we be willing to prostrate ourselves on the ground? Okay? That's something our culture doesn't have. Does not have. Godly fear in Hebrews 12:28 is from a Greek word, eulabia, which means caution or dread. And the word awe is found only in the Old Testament. In Psalms 4:4, it says, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still." This word, regas, means to quiver, be afraid, quake, and shake or tremble. In Hebrews 10:29, it says, "For God, our God is a consuming fire. We know that him that has said, 'Vengeance belongs to me,' he will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. You need to think about that. Meditate about that phrase. A fearful thing. And the consequences that happen if you do not obey God. So let's look at the importance of the fear of the Lord. As we said before, it's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom in Proverbs 9:10. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. It will cause one to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the perverse mouth do I hate. Fear of the Lord will prolong life. Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Fear of the Lord provides strong confidence and is a fountain of life. In Proverbs 14, verse 26, it says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord will prompt one to depart from evil. In Proverbs 16, it says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. In the fear of the Lord, men may depart from evil. The fear of life leads to a satisfying life and spares one from much evil. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that hath it abides satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord is a way to provide riches, honor, and life. Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Now that doesn't mean you're going to be a millionaire. Doesn't mean that you're going to be president of the United States. Okay? But it does give us a refuge for which we can be sure that God will protect us. We know that things will sometimes bad happen to us. But there are reasons for that. In Ecclesiastes 31, there is a praise for the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31:30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So what happens if we don't have the fear of the Lord? We close ourselves to the treasures of God's knowledge and wisdom. We flirt with evil and can be corrupted with it. Psalms 36, if you'd like to turn over there. Proverbs 36, beginning at verse 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise to do good. He devises mischief upon his bed, and he sets himself in a way that is not good. He abhors not evil. We see that today. There are people today that promote things that are evil as good and good that is evil. I've often thought to my mind that this world is turned upside down. This is not like it was 20 years ago. There are things that are being promulgated and pushed and even encouraged that is evil, perverse, and abomination. If we don't recognize the fear of the Lord, our lives are likely to be shortened by our refusal to listen to God's word as it relates to pure living. We will not know God's love that gives us the confidence of salvation. And when we fall into sin, we will not be provoked to repent and return to God. Without fear of the Lord, people will rationalize their sins. And I've thought about this. Okay? We all rationalize. And when we read the scriptures, we look at the Hebrews. What they saw, some of them saw miracles of God, those coming out of Egypt. And yet, later on, they would rationalize their sin by building a golden calf. Man is built like that. They don't want to acknowledge the Lord. They want to do what they want to do. Fear the Lord. Without the fear of the Lord, we will not please God. Isaiah 66, beginning of verse 1, if you'd like to turn there. Thus says the Lord, The heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But this man, which will I look, even to him that is poor of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. Have you ever trembled at his word? Think about that. Have you ever trembled at his word? This word used here in Greek means fearful, afraid, trembling. Only the person who trembles at his word has God's promise to receive his tender mercy. In Psalms 103, verse 17, it says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them." So how do we develop the fear of the Lord? It comes from the word of God. David encouraged knowing and understanding. In Psalms 34, he said, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Just as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, fear of the Lord comes by reading his word, meditating upon his word, and considering how we should walk." So, just as faith comes by hearing, fear comes by reading the word. In Deuteronomy 31, if you'd like to turn there. Deuteronomy 31:10. Beginning of verse 10. "And Moses commanded him, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel has come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which ye shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, to observe, to do all the words of this law, that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land where you go over Jordan to possess it." So as one reads the word of God, one develops a healthy degree of the fear of the Lord. Turn to Romans, the second chapter. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render every man according to his deeds. To them who by patience, continuance, and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God." Turn to 2 Peter, the third chapter. Beginning of verse 7. "For the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief of the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth and also the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening for the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in peace, without spot, and blameless. So we need to understand the entire Word of God. We need to read not only the passage that talks about God's love, long-suffering, and mercy, but we also need to read the portion that talks about the consequences, the hellfire and brimstone. But some people only look at part of the Scriptures. They only look at that part that emphasizes God's love and mercy, but have no fear of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, into the patient waiting for Christ. While some may only read about the hellfire and brimstone and know nothing of God's everlasting loving kindness. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, a couple chapters back. To give rest with us to you who are troubled at the revealing of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of his power, in flaming fire taking the vengeance of those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction for the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. We cannot look at one without looking at the other. We need to understand what the fear of the Lord means while we are also considering God's everlasting loving kindness and God's grace and forgiveness to those who will repent. So today we talked about and identified what the fear of the Lord is. We pointed out why the fear of the Lord is important to Christians. And we learned how to develop a healthy fear of the Lord without going to one extreme or the other. And this warning is necessary. In Psalms 89, if you'd like to turn over there. Psalms 89, beginning at verse 5. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of them that are about him. In Hebrews, the fourth chapter, it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, nor being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Later on, chapter 4 says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So the question is, are you perfecting holiness in the fear of God? 2 Thessalonians 7:1 says, unto therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Sometimes when we point out God's indignation, holiness, and justice, people will say, my God's not like that. He's a God of love. If you believe and you're saved, once saved, always saved, as we talked about this morning. Okay? But they don't read the whole scriptures. Some like to distinguish between the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. But God is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. God does not change. We have to read, study, and meditate on the Word of God to understand our Creator. Hebrews says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Turn to Proverbs, the first chapter. Beginning at verse 24. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said at naught my counsel, and would have none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fears comes. When your fear comes as desolation, and your destruction comes as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish comes upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hate knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. David also wrote in Psalms 34, he says, what man is he that desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. He says, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is a profound love and deep respect for God. The fear of the Lord is taking God seriously, keeping his commandments, his promises, and which he expects us to obey. The fear of the Lord is the attitude that results from knowing that your God is watching your every action, weighing your every motive, and aware of your every thought. That in itself causes me to be afraid. Because that's the hardest thing I have to do, is control the thoughts that pop into my head. The fear of the Lord means to love God, to love what God loves, and to hate what he hates. A healthy fear of God includes reverence and awe, fear of the consequences of disobedience, fear and trembling when you hear God's word. There may be times of temptation or trial when we forget some of the better reasons for obeying God. And that is when we really need to think of those consequences. It began, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it's good or whether it's evil. For the unbeliever, the fear of God is the fear of judgment of God and eternal death, which is eternal separation from God. For the believer, the fear of God is something much different. But I still wonder, is there enough fear and trembling in Christians today? Years ago, I think it was in the 70s, they had this program called Scare Straight. They would take young offenders, and they would take them into these prisons, put them in a cell with these hardened criminals. And they thought being a bad boy or a bad girl was cool. But after going into that prison and talking to those people, they came out, they were scared. They didn't want nothing of going to prison. And I often thought, what if God took 1 minute of your life, maybe in a dream or maybe in a waking vision, and put you in hell for 1 minute? Total blackness, burning fire. Would you have that fear of the Lord? Our God's not going to do that. He's given us the word. We can read what is going to happen here. And I'm going to tell you right now, those words don't truly convey the terror, the utter desolation of those people who will be put in that fire of eternal damnation. So I ask you, do you fear the Lord? Do you tremble before the Lord? Or better yet, does your life reflect the fear of the Lord? Now we come to this point with an invitation. The invitation at the close of the sermon is a tradition. It's not a requirement. It's not a bad tradition. But we must understand that a person can obey the gospel at any time, not just at the end of a sermon. It's also an opportunity to encourage the congregation to apply the message immediately to their lives. It reminds those of thinking, who may be thinking about becoming a Christian, that there's no better time than now. Or offer to those who realize that their lives have not been right before God an opportunity to have their brethren pray to the Lord on their behalf. This isn't the only time it can be done, but there is an opportunity now. So why delay? Think on these things as we stand and sing.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high.